chapter 9, verse 16, woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. Paul was a man with a mission. He was a man who lived under compulsion. He was a driven man. As we look at the life of the Apostle Paul through the book of Acts, we see someone who always talked about Jesus. Three missionary journeys. And despite all of the hardships he faced, everywhere he went, he talked about Jesus. He even preached Jesus in those dangerous places where he knew he would face opposition and suffering. Nothing deterred Paul from preaching about Jesus. In fact, when he went to Jerusalem after his third missionary journey, in order to preach Jesus in that hostile city, Paul knew he was walking into danger. In fact, there's a story in the book of Acts where Agabus, a New Testament prophet, comes to Paul and says to him, you will be bound, you will suffer when you get to Jerusalem. Paul's response, Acts chapter 21, he says, why are you weeping and breaking my heart? I am not only ready to be bound, but also to die in Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was a driven man, always proclaiming the city, or always proclaiming the message of Jesus. And when he was in the city of Jerusalem, he did get involved in some kind of a disturbance in the temple, and the Roman officials took him into custody. This eventually led to his imprisonment in the city of Caesarea. Lasted about 2 years. 2 years. And at the end of that period of time, Paul appealed his case to Rome. He appealed his case to the emperor. He was able to do that as a Roman citizen. Because of that appeal, he was transferred to Rome under a Roman guard. In fact, as we come to the very end of the book of Acts, Acts chapter 28, verse 16, it describes Paul's arrival in Rome. It says, when we got to Rome, Paul was allowed to live by himself with a soldier to guard him. Well, he'd go on to spend 2 more years as a prisoner, now in the city of Rome. After that, he would be released. That was the end of his, what's called his first Roman imprisonment. So that means, if you think about it, Paul spent 4 years in jail. 2 years in Caesarea, 2 years in Rome. What does Paul do during these many years? Here's a man who is driven to travel around to tell people about Jesus, preaching in city after city after city throughout the Roman Empire. And now he's being confined to a prison. How can he advance the gospel in those circumstances? Well, fortunately, Paul's imprisonment did not stop him, didn't even slow him down. We've already seen that Paul was full of joy. He just took his imprisonment as just another way to advance the gospel. Let's pick up Philippians chapter 1, beginning at verse 12 this morning. Paul writes, now I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. Now, it is true that Paul is not a free man. He cannot travel from city to city to city to preach the gospel. But now, Paul has a new opportunity. It's an opportunity that he would not have had as he traveled around Asia Minor and Macedonia and Greece. He had now a unique and important audience, a new audience with which to share the gospel. Again, let's go back to Acts chapter 26, verse 16, how the book of Acts ends. When we got to Rome, Paul was allowed to live by himself with a soldier to guard him. Now, we need to remember that Paul had not been convicted of any crime. He was not a criminal in the traditional sense. Rather, he had been involved in some kind of a disturbance in the temple. The Jewish leaders were very upset with him. Why? The Romans didn't know. They had originally taken Paul into custody simply to rescue him from an angry mob right outside the Jewish temple. And when they determined that he was a Roman citizen, they tried to secure justice for him. Now, the Jewish leaders were accusing him of all sorts of things. And there were some hearings about that, too. First in Jerusalem, then in Caesarea. But in all of these hearings, the Romans did not get a real clear picture about Paul. Was he innocent? Was he guilty? And if he was guilty, what was he guilty of? Now, one thing that the Romans do care about is law and order and justice, especially for Roman citizens. So when Paul made his appeal to the Roman emperor, he was transferred from Caesarea to Rome for further hearings and hopefully a decision in this case. He was a special case. Not a criminal, but not innocent, or as of yet, hadn't been determined to be innocent. So under these special conditions, Paul was allowed to live by himself in rented quarters. He wasn't thrown in with the general population of criminals. He wasn't punished. But he wasn't free also. He wasn't free. He couldn't travel, but he actually could take on visitors. But he also had the inconvenience, or actually the opportunity, as Paul will see it, of having a Roman soldier assigned to him all the time. We already saw that as Paul traveled from Jerusalem to Rome, he traveled with a Roman guard. And now that he is in Rome, he will continue to have a Roman guard until his case is heard and then finally settled. Now in Philippians chapter 1, verse 12, Paul describes the Roman guard as the palace guard. The word in the original is the Praetorian Guard. It could also be called the Imperial Guard. What exactly is that? It's actually an elite group of soldiers that were handpicked for this special unit. It was made up of about 9,000 men, and they had two main responsibilities, the Praetorian Guard. They were to keep the peace in Rome, and they were also to protect the emperor and the interests of the emperor. Now, since Paul had appealed his case to the emperor, he fell under that interest of the emperor category, and therefore he was a prisoner under the Praetorian Guard. And he was chained to a member of the Praetorian Guard 24/7. Now, according to Roman tradition, that meant that every day, Paul had four different Roman soldiers chained to him. They had six-hour shifts. So Paul was having a lot of one-on-one time with these Roman soldiers. Let's say a little bit more about this Praetorian Guard before we come back to the notion of Paul's influence on them. We already said that this group was an elite group of soldiers connected with the emperor. They were also very, very powerful, very, very influential in the city of Rome. In fact, in time, the influence of the Praetorian Guard was a key factor in determining who the emperor would be. It's been said that the Praetorian Guard was involved with the death of some of the emperors. Caligula, for example. The Praetorian Guard was involved with his death. Caligula had kind of gone off the rails And they saw to it that he wasn't emperor anymore. Caligula ruled from 37 to 41 AD. It's about 10 years after the time of Jesus. So again, in time, the Praetorian Guard became one of the determining forces on who would serve as the emperor. In later years, the Praetorian Guard became known as emperor makers. One could serve as the emperor if he had the support of the Praetorian Guard. So this group of soldiers, very influential, whoever had an influence on the Praetorian Guard would have a significant influence. Indeed, this brings us to Paul. As a special prisoner, Paul had the ear of a member of the Praetorian Guard 24/7 for a few years. What an opportunity. What an opportunity. This, according to Paul, was an opportunity to advance the gospel in areas that he would never have had that ability when he was a regular missionary traveling around the Roman Empire. He wouldn't have had the ear of the Praetorian Guard and the influence that that brought. Paul's now advancing the gospel to those emperor makers who controlled the city of Rome. And just imagine being chained to the Apostle Paul 24/7. I could only guess that most other prisoners that the Praetorian Guard dealt with spent most of their time complaining about the conditions, spent a lot of time claiming their innocence. I've heard it said that everyone in prison is innocent, or asserting that they're not getting the justice that they deserve for their case. I'm guessing that the average prisoner that the Praetorian Guard was responsible for was not very pleasant to be chained to. But Paul, he was different. He was different. Here was a guy who didn't complain about his conditions, but seemed to be full of joy, seemed to be talking about Jesus all the time. Here was a prisoner who did not insist on his innocence, didn't demand that he receive better justice. Instead, he just talked about Jesus with joy. And Paul would also receive visitors. And it seemed like whenever these visitors came by, he's just talking to them about Jesus. Talking about the churches. In fact, maybe, as this illustration points out, maybe he's in the process of dictating one of the letters, one of the prison epistles. We said that four of our New Testament letters were dictated by Paul to some secretary while he was in prison. Imagine being the Roman guard chained to Paul as he's dictating Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. What an opportunity. Imagine being chained to a prisoner who was so full of joy, talked about Jesus, talked about his love for the churches. Notice again the language of Philippians chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. Now I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. So Paul's thinking in terms of preaching to a brand new audience. Verse 13. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else, and this is what I want you to see right now, I am in chains for Christ. I am in chains for Christ. That's how Paul was known by the Praetorian Guard and throughout the city of Rome. He wasn't a prisoner who was in chains for murder. He wasn't in chains for embezzlement. He wasn't in chains for conspiracy, although that's what the Jewish people were trying to suggest, he was known as a prisoner who was in chains for Christ. I'm sure that the Praetorian guards talked amongst themselves about the Apostle Paul because he was such an unusual prisoner. I'm sure many of these Praetorian guards went home and talked about Paul with their families, their wives, around the dinner table because he was such an unusual prisoner. I do the same thing myself with some of my students who were rather unusual. I'll go home and I'll tell Tricia all about this particular junior high students and how quirky they are. I'll talk with the other teachers about, hey, who has Billy? Wow, you guess you did in my class today. I'm sure the Roman soldiers talked about that with Paul. I can just imagine the conversations. One soldier would say to another, hey, I saw the duty schedule this morning. You got Paul next week. Wow, that guy's a trip. Always talking about Jesus. And what was Paul talking about? Specifically, what was he talking about? I am sure that in all those hours of talking with these Roman guards, he probably talked about those Roman soldiers in Jerusalem, the ones who were instrumental at having Jesus put to death on a Roman cross, and how Jesus rose from the dead. He may have told the story about that Roman soldier in Jerusalem who seemed to believe in Jesus after watching the manner of his death. He was thinking about that Roman soldier mentioned in Matthew 27, verse 54, who after seeing how Jesus died and the events surrounding his death, said at the end, "Surely he was the Son of God." Paul also may have talked about Jesus in terms of being the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Now this would have been very familiar language to Roman soldiers in Rome. In the Roman Empire, the emperor was understood to be Lord. The Roman Emperor was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Common language, common ideas in the city of Rome. And Paul is here using that same language, the same concepts in connection with Jesus. This was intriguing talk. This even bordered on treasonous talk. The Roman soldiers, they were listening. Remember, the Praetorian Guard came to be known as the emperor makers in the city of Rome. Here was Paul talking about how the one true God made Jesus of Nazareth the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords by bringing him back from the dead after the Roman authorities tried to kill him on a Roman cross. Paul is saying, in essence, that Jesus is the King of Kings. That the Praetorian Guard, they did not establish the Lord. It was God who established Jesus. And Jesus could not be subdued by Roman power. Did all this talking about Jesus have any effect on the Praetorian Guard? You bet it did. Paul is telling the Philippians that because of his chains, the gospel is indeed advancing among the whole palace guard and to everyone else, verse 13. In fact, look with me to the very end of the book of Philippians, chapter 4, verse 22. This is kind of how Paul closes the letter of Philippians. He says, "All the saints send you greetings." He's talking about all the saints in the city of Rome. "Especially those who belong to Caesar's household." Who were these saints from Caesar's household? These were the Praetorian Guard. and the everyone else, verse 13, that was touched by the gospel because Paul constantly was preaching about Jesus as a Roman prisoner. Now, when Paul was a free man, he traveled city to city, preaching the gospel to both Jews and Gentiles alike. And now he is in chains, a prisoner in Rome, and is now constantly preaching to the Roman guards to whom he was chained. Did Paul's imprisonment shut him up? Did Paul's imprisonment slow him down? No. No, he just had a new audience, a new platform in which to talk about Jesus. So what's the lesson? The lesson for you and I to draw from this? Well, it's real simple. Wherever God places you, wherever God places you, that is where you must serve the gospel and tell other people about Jesus. You don't have to be a missionary traveling to distant lands in order to share the gospel with other people. You can share the gospel with the other people you meet at work, that you meet shopping, that you meet traveling around the city. You don't need to be a Sunday school teacher in order to tell people about Jesus. You can tell people about Jesus while standing in line at the DMV. That'll give you hours and hours of talking to people about Jesus. Wherever God puts you, even if Paul allows you to suffer in prison, do not think that you can now not have any significance for God. No, in every situation, see it as an opportunity to share with others about Jesus. Do not complain about your unpleasant circumstances. Do not grumble about where you find yourself in life. Instead, take every opportunity, even if it's a miserable situation, take every opportunity as an opportunity to share Christ with others. Think about this. If Paul had grumbled and complained about his situation, if he had complained to those Roman soldiers that he was in jail unjustly, he may not have had the impact on Caesar's household that he seems to have had. His grumbling spirit would have destroyed his witness for Christ. Just like that Roman soldier in Jerusalem who was impressed by the way that Jesus died upon the cross, so the Roman soldiers were intrigued by Paul's attitude, by his joy, even while he languished in prison. Paul had joy, even while in prison. Therefore, he was able to win people to the Lord. God can use us too. If we just take our situations, whatever situation that is, as an opportunity to tell other people about Jesus. How can God use you if you face your situation with joy? If you take every opportunity to preach Jesus and not grumble and complain, imagine. Now, the Praetorian Guard was not the only way in which Paul had a very positive influence in the city of Rome while he was a prisoner. He was also influencing the believers in Rome who were aware of his imprisonment there. Let's look at verse 14 now. Paul writes, "Because of my chains, most of the brothers in the Lord have been encouraged to speak the word of God more courageously and fearlessly." Now, what's going on here? Well, apparently, the believers in Rome were gaining greater confidence and boldness in sharing the gospel by watching what Paul was doing in his situation. Again, if Paul had spent his time grumbling and complaining, he would have missed this influence as well. It seems as though the believers in Rome had been a little bit timid about boldly proclaiming the gospel in the city of Rome. You know, the city of Rome was a great secular city with great political power. It's not always a safe place to openly preach about Jesus there in the city of Rome. Doesn't that sound a lot like the world in which we live today? In our modern culture, we do not always feel safe to boldly and openly talk about Jesus. That was true in the city of Rome, as it's true for us today. But Paul was courageous, and he boldly proclaimed the gospel. And that example inspired the other believers in Rome to do the very same thing. They reasoned, hey, listen, if Paul can be that bold while he is under a Roman guard, we should be able to tell other people about Jesus as well in the marketplace, in our neighborhoods. They were inspired by Paul. You know, his courage became contagious. I like the way Billy Graham put it. Courage is contagious. When a brave man takes a stand, the spines of others are often stiffened. It's often the case that the boldness and the courage of faithful Christians inspires and motivates others to share the gospel of well. That's one of the reasons why it's so valuable to learn about the great missionaries. Missionaries who boldly risk their lives in order to share the gospel with others. I think of Lottie Moon and her story. Jim Elliot and his story. In fact, Jim Elliot was a graduate of Wheaton Academy, and he Wheaton College, and he became a great missionary. Many of us are familiar with the story of Jim Elliot. It's said that after Jim Elliot lost his life proclaiming the gospel, that the enrollment in the missions department at Wheaton College went up drastically. Other people were inspired by his story to likewise train to become a missionary and go out into the field. Now, the believers in Rome were not inspired by Paul's imprisonment. They were not inspired by his suffering. They were inspired by how he dealt with his imprisonment, how he dealt with his suffering, with his great joy. They were inspired by the fact that he did not grumble and complain because of the hardships that he had, but instead he had joy in his heart. He was full of confidence and courage. He boldly proclaimed the gospel even while in chains. Courage is contagious. Our boldness in proclaiming the gospel will encourage others to proclaim the gospel as well. Stories abound that show the truth of this. One such story took place during the Boxer Rebellion in China. The years of the Boxer Rebellion was 1899 through 1902, or 01. And during this particular uprising, there was a wave of anti-Western, anti-colonial, anti-Christianity that swept through northern China. The anti-Christianity stemmed from the perception that Christianity was a Western religion and being imposed on the Chinese by Western influences in China during this period of time. Now, the truth be told, Christianity is not a Western religion. It's a faith that originated in the East, the Middle East. It's also a faith that had been carried into China about the same time that it was moving into Western Europe. But during the Boxer Rebellion, A group of Chinese rebels surrounded a missionary school there in the heart of China. The small school had about 100 students and faculty. They erected a large fence all around the school, leaving only one entrance. And in the doorway of that entrance, the rebels drew a cross on the ground. And they instructed all those within the compound, within that Christian school, to come out the gate and make a very important life and death decision. They were either to come out and stomp upon that cross and renounce their Christianity, in which case they would be free to go, or they could walk around the cross, in which case they would be put to death. Well, the story goes that the first six students who came out of that gate stomped on the cross, renounced their Western ways, and were free to go. And then the seventh student, a young girl, she left the compound, she walked up to the cross. She knelt before that cross in prayer, asking God for the courage and the strength to remain true to Christ. And then after walking around the cross, this courageous believer was put to death on the spot. Her lifeless body was dragged to the side to allow others to come out in turn. Well, after this one example of boldness and courage, the story goes that every other person who came out of that gate followed the very same example as that courageous young girl willing to take a stand for Jesus. Now, their consequences were the same as hers, but courage is contagious. When a brave man, or in this case, a brave young girl, takes a stand, the spines of others are often stiffened. Are you willing to be counted among those who would boldly and fearlessly take a stand for Christ? Are you willing to be one of those who would speak the word of God more courageously and fearlessly, even in a hostile situation? Will you be an example to others? Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for the example of the Apostle Paul, who boldly and courageously talked about Jesus, who saw himself as in chains for Christ, who made it so that others saw him as in chains for Christ. Let us likewise walk in boldness and courage, even in our hostile world. Help us to be in chains for Christ, to be bold in our witness, to be fearless in our faith. All these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.